I'd like to welcome everybody. Can I have roll call, please?
Slide.
Here.
Cathedral City.
Okay.
Cathedral City. Present.
Are you present?
Are you here?
Yes. Sorry, I was talking.
Coachella.
Here.
Desert Hot Springs.
Here.
Indian Wells.
Present.
Indio.
Present.
La Quinta.
Here.
Palm Desert.
Here.
Palm Springs.
Here.
Rancho Mirage. Riverside County 3rd District.
Here.
4th District.
Here.
5th District.
Here.
Alma Caliente.
Here.
We have a forum.
Thank you. Would you please follow us in the pledge of allegiance? John, would you give us the honor?
Sure.
Join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. At this time, staff, I believe, and Tom, and all of us have a little item that we'd like to give to the past chair, Don Benoit.
For your past service. The supervisor and CVAC share the same landlord. I think that landlord moved the supervisor into a smaller office space as a probably some kind of cost-cutting mechanism. But he does have some wall space. So we'd like to offer this to the supervisor for his service as CVAC chair. Will you please acknowledge his hard work last year?
Not as big as yours, but
thank you. I appreciate it. I think the wife is on there somewhere.
Yeah, it's
always in the corner.
It's way up in the corner.
Let's not be comparing, John.
Thank you.
And you're quite welcome. Thank you for everything you've done for everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. It's time for public comment. Anybody at this time can address this board? There's no public comment. We'll move forward. Tom, you have some comments?
Just a couple of brief announcements, one of which we perhaps take it for granted these days, but we did receive another grant. Councilman Greg Pettis and Vice Chair of the Mobile Source Review Committee with AQMD from MSRC for $250,000, kind of an Air District MSRC grant that supports our Street Sweeping Program and that keeps it financially sustainable. So that's fantastic news. Another bit of fantastic news, particularly for the City of Indio, Jefferson Interchange, and La Quinta and the eastern part of the valley. The environmental document on that was released, and it's out for public review. That's fantastic news for all of us. There is a public scoping, public meeting at John Glenn Middle School. I think it's just the 27th, a couple days from now in the evening. If you're interested, contact me or Alan or Michael on our staff. And just a couple of other quick things.
Is that accelerated by our district?
Our new district director has been very supportive and helpful already, and is helping smooth the way with FHWA, which is where we really have some challenges at times.
Yeah, we jumped on that.
So I've got some speaking engagements just as an FYI. One at Mobility 21 later this week for those of you that might be going on behalf of RCTC or, for that matter, CVAC's Transportation Committee and the statewide American Planning Association conference. And then in early October, hopefully you have it on. Do we hand those out, Katie? The Energy Summit. You might have seen a little bit on the Energy Summit. This year, it's even a bigger deal. In the past, the Energy Summit's been something that's been spearheaded by CVAC and CVEP and our local partners. It's really a Southern California event this year. And it's a two-day event, and that is October 4th and 5th. If you want more information on the Energy Summit, track down Katie or me or the Berkstrix folks who are helping manage the event. That's the extent of my comments. Thanks.
Thank you. Does any directors have any comments? If not, we'll move on to the consent calendar.
I'll move for consent calendar.
What's that?
I said I'll move the consent calendar.
Thank you.
Second.
Got a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Can I abstain on item 6A?
Record states that?
6A also. I'm just abstaining.
Moving on then to discussion items. Item number A, their appointment of CBAG Committee, Energy and Climate, ENA, and Community Human Development Committee, Laura Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've been notified of two vacancies on SCAG committees, their Energy and Environmental Committee, and their Community Economic and Human Development Committee. You have the descriptions of the two committees in the staff report. These committees meet on the same day as SCAG's Regional Council, which is the first Thursday of each month in Los Angeles. It's a two-year term that starts on the date as appointed by the SCAG president at their monthly Regional Council meeting. The next one is Thursday, October 4th. There's a monthly stipend of $120, and you can be reimbursed for an overnight hotel stay up to $150. Mike Wilson from the City of Indio, who is the new chair of CBAG's Energy and Environmental Resources Committee, has volunteered to serve on SCAG's Community Human Economic Development Committee. That concludes staff remarks. You have the staff report and the exhibits. We ask that you approve Councilmember Mike Wilson from the City of Indio to serve as SCAG CEHD as a representative to that committee. We have one more open slot, as I said, and that's on the Energy and Environment Committee. We are sending out letters to E&E committee members asking them to spread the word to fellow council members. So if you would also do that as well, we would appreciate it. That is the staff summary remarks, and you have
a
staff recommendation.
Thank you, Laura. Can I get a motion to accept Mike Wilson?
I'll move.
Second.
The motion is second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Moving on to 7B, the contract between CBAG and Jewish Family Services of San Diego. Laura.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The contract with Jewish Family Services of San Diego expires at the end of October. So with that, staff, at the direction of this committee, put together an RFP process. An ad hoc group of elected officials from the Homelessness Committee, County DPSS contract staff, and homeless service providers assisted in the development of the RFP, which was released back in late June. Even with the very broad net of local and outside contacts, we received fewer proposals than we had anticipated. Phone calls to a few of the agencies revealed the main reasons to be uncertainty of government funding because of cities declaring bankruptcy, reluctance to compete with other nonprofits, and agencies decided to pursue other RFPs closer to their home base. Following a meeting with the bidder, we are pleased to announce a new contract with Jewish Family Services of San Diego, which provides for a bed rate of $34.09. What has made this especially a pleasure to announce is the excellent partnership between Jewish Family Services and CBAG. The Board of Jewish Family Services recognizes this partnership as part of their commitment to ending homelessness and their commitment to the Coachella Valley. This is evidenced by their own board committing funds, which has lowered the rate. And not only that, but the new bed rate is retroactive to September the 1st, even more of an investment made by Jewish Family Services to show their pledge to CBAG and to provide quality services and bottom-line results which you, the communities, will benefit from. So because the rate is retroactive to September the 1st, we have to amend the current contract, so you have amendment number 8 as well. Their entire contribution is approximately $120,000, which is more than the city's contributions. They are applying for grants to help offset a portion of that, but it's still a major investment. The new bed rate has enabled Roy's to increase the number of beds back up to 90 beds. The new contract is a one-year term starting November 1st with an option to renew for 2 more years. There's other provisions in this contract that we're excited about, a confidential survey of clients to measure client satisfaction with the services that are provided, creation of a volunteer program in partnership with the Friends of Roy's Foundation, enrollment in a federal food program as a way to reduce food costs and to reinstate the SAC lunch program, and then increased utilization of on-site resources to provide clients with work training opportunities. We wish to thank the Homeless Community Review Panel for their assistance throughout this process. We also again wish to acknowledge Jewish Family Services of San Diego and look forward to a continued partnership and to a brighter future at Roy's. I'd also like to recognize my assistant, Mary Zumbu, for all of her hard work in preparing the RFP and drafting the contract. That concludes staff remarks. You have the staff recommendation. This item was also approved at the Homelessness Committee last week. We were hoping to have Joel Craddock here from Jewish Family Services. Unfortunately, he has another critical meeting at the Scripps Institute in San Diego. But Libby Ramos-Watson is here. She is the chair of our Homelessness Committee. And perhaps she and Supervisor Pellick would like to make some remarks.
Thank you, Aurora. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd really like for everyone to acknowledge the contribution the Jewish Family Services of the Desert has made to this effort. By them contributing $120,000 toward our homeless effort here in the Coachella Valley for this first year, we're able to reduce the bed rate down to the $34 or $30. This is a one-year commitment that they're making. They recognize that we here in the Coachella Valley are committed to ending homelessness in our Coachella Valley and that we have a five-year plan where we are assisting the Roy's Foundation in order to get off the ground and start raising funds so that Roy's Desert Resource Center can become independent and not depend on city funding. But I wanted to highlight that for you because this is a one-year opportunity. We thank them for this effort. We recognize that it's a big contribution on their part, and we at the Homeless Committee are working and doing our part with Roy's Foundation to make sure that we can start raising the funds to keep Desert Resource Center open and going to meet the homeless population. We're still going to be coming to your cities asking if you can help us along the way. Some of the cities are still not contributing toward the homeless effort, and it's caused us to reduce the number of beds that we are able to maintain open at Roy's Desert Resource Center. We are looking at alternatives on funding and to see how we can keep the resource center open in the interim while we work with the foundation to raise the funds to keep this facility open. So I ask that each of you keep in mind that there still is a need, there still is a large homeless population throughout the Coachella Valley that needs our services. And if you could find it in your budgets at the city level to help us along the way, we would certainly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. John?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to echo those comments with regard to the Jewish Federation stepping forward and helping out here. They've taken on a very important role with Roy's. They stepped up to the plate big time with this contribution by way of reduced fees, and they're looking for ways to cover it internally and externally for their budget. But I think it's a terrific step for them to take and help us make this work. We're looking at a $600,000 allocation, half of what we had the previous year from the county in our original budget. My colleagues, I thank you for your support in this area and other departments within the county. We were able to come up with just short of $900,000 in the end of the process, still leaving it shorter than last year, but that's part of the challenge that the Jewish Federation has helped us close that gap. We're not out of the woods here. Roy's is an important asset that we need to help find its way towards better self-sufficiency with the help of the Roy's internal efforts. But I really want to thank the staff and for working with the Jewish Federation and the Jewish Federation for taking this huge piece of this onto themselves to help us make sure that we continue to operate this year. And we'll have to fight this fight again, I'm sure, next year.
Thank you, John.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I just would like to thank again the county for finding the extra money. Again, our budget for the new fiscal year was a $600,000 contribution from the county. They've now found more money, and it's making its way over to Roy. So we are very much appreciative to the Board of Supervisors for finding the funding and to the staff for finding those extra dollars as well. At the TAC meeting, there was a question that was raised regarding the comparison rates, that although the rate is much lower now, there was a question as to why the rate was still higher than the rescue mission. And I believe the major difference has to do with salary and benefits. The rescue mission pays a minimum hourly wage of $8 to $9 an hour with no benefits. Workers are classified as temporary employees. Jewish Family Services of San Diego, however, starts their employees at $10 an hour. It's a living wage philosophy that the agency has adopted throughout and has offered to all of their employees. but it also provides benefits, health insurance, which is why you have the difference. That concludes Jack's remarks. You have the staff recommendation.
Thank you, Aurora. Thank you for a good job.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question of staff. Aurora, you said this is a one-year contract with 2 1-year extensions.
That's correct.
Are there costs? I don't find in here. Is there a cost of living adjustment for the following years, or is this the same contract price for the next 2 years? Should we?
It may not be the same contract price. What again was said before is that this is a one-year type of contribution that Jewish Family Services is making. So we're not sure what the rate will be for the next year. Tom, perhaps you might want to add a little bit more to that.
It'll come back again next year. The contract will be a 3-year contract, but the actual amount for the next fiscal year will be dictated by the budget.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Just comment. I sit on the homelessness committee as well, and just want to let everyone know that we're having some conversations about establishing a bit of a reserve for the homeless. For Roy's, the operation of Roy's. When you look at the budget's $1.1 million. The county is generous enough to give, $900,000. And if the cities contribute, obviously there's going to be excess amount of dollars. So what we want to do is try to establish some type of reserve so that if things get hectic, make sure the county can't give $900,000, then there's a little bit of money left over so that we can, continue the programs for the next couple of years. I will add that one of the considerations that, or one of the benchmarks that all the cities are talking about is having a 5-year plan in which after 5 years are up, then the foundation continues to run Roy's on its own and kind of wing it, stop the city and county contribution. So we are looking at that, and everybody's dedicated to try to ensure that the foundation's up and running successfully and have some type of dollars, that they can move forward and fundraise down the way.
Question, how is the progress of the foundation going? Is it starting to work and raise funds?
It's going very well. Have a new board. You'll be pleased to hear this because you made such an investment to it. Yes, there's about 8 or 9 people. Denise Welch is the new chairman, and Jim Hicks has taken an advisory role, and so they've got they're updating their website. They're out there and just doing a lot of fundraising, and they're just doing very well, and they're helping us to establish a volunteer program there. They'll be working with Jewish Family Services on a marketing effort, so things are progressing very well.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Aurora, I think, of course, this is a great program. But can you tell me, in addition to what the county has contributed, we also have a very strong investment in workforce development, trying to get some of these people either retrofitted and reestablished in the job market. What is the, I don't want to call it recidivism rate, but what is the rate of people going out homeless that are in a shelter, getting out, and then coming back? Are you seeing that you're successfully getting people melded back into the local economy here, or
yes,
seeing the same faces?
Yes, we had about 858 people come in through Roy's back in 2011. We're still working on 2012 data. This is men, women, and children. And I would say, I'm thinking about roughly 70% are put back into the community. Many of them with jobs, and many of them have services. Our Social Security now and looking for jobs. And we do have someone from Workforce Development Office in India that does come out to Roy's and works with the clients there to get them hooked up into services.
Good. Good job. Thank you. Any other questions?
Move approval. Second.
The move approval, that also includes the amendment number 82. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to 7C, Aurora, just our popular.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. CDEG, using the City of Palm Desert as the lead agency, applied for and has been awarded a Caltrans grant in the amount of $291,000 for a public outreach program for the 1E11 Parkway. The expected start date of the contract between the city and Caltrans for this grant is early February 2013. In order to accept the grant, CBAG and the city need to do an MOU which outlines the responsibilities of each party. That MOU is attached. There's a local match requirement, and CBAG will provide the match of $22,500 using CBAG transportation funds. The funds will be used to hire a consultant to carry out a comprehensive outreach and bilingual program, which will include collateral materials, websites, workshops, presentations, and other outreach methods to both share information and gather comments and ideas that will help further define and design the parkway. We thank the City of Palm Desert for partnering with CBAG. You have a staff recommendation. This has been approved by the Technical Advisory Committee.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the first thing that this group's going to do is look at 1E11, which is the name, or whatever comes out of it. I just wanted to let everybody know that the South Coast Air Quality Management District has scheduled an October 16th public hearing, hearing of the admin committee, and it'll be here in the desert. It's actually going to be at the Coachella Valley Water District headquarters on Cook, and or it's on Hovely, near Cook. I'm told that 2 weeks before that date, they will publish the agenda items and include a list of projects that are recommended by the staff for funding. I'm sure that will be a very interesting day for everybody in the Coachella Valley. I don't know yet. I've been purposely staying away from that process. I don't know what the results will be. I'm sure there'll be a lot of great projects funded. I'm not sure what the balance is going to be. But when and if that happens, I believe that the parkway will have some role, some movement, and we'll be moving forward in some respect. We'll all know more on the 16th. So I'm sure that that notice is going to be spread again, but I just wanted to let you know that it is moving forward, and we'll see on the 16th of October. That is a Board of Supervisors Day, so I will be in Riverside, and hopefully it won't be one of our marathon sessions, and I can get out here before that admin committee wraps up for the day.
Excuse me, John, do they have a time set on the 16th?
It's 10 o'clock.
10 a.m.?
I think it's scheduled from 10 to 5, if it needs to go that long.
Any other comments?
Are they just going to be hearing testimony? Are they going to have to file allegations that day?
The staff will present their recommendation based on their analysis and comparative ranking. The committee will take public testimony from anyone involved or anyone who would like to speak. It is expected at the end of the day the committee will make a recommendation to the AQMD that will be acted on at the following meeting.
Which will be in October also? Or in
first Friday of November.
Any other comments?
I move approval of the MOU with CBAG and Palm Desert.
Second. Move second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would like to all thank the City of Palm Desert for making this happen. It's a great deal.
Your help is appreciated.
Great deal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Moving on, update on Coachella Valley Habitat Species. Habitat Conservation Plan,
Yeah, just a brief introduction. My apologies to those in the room that have already seen Katie's presentation on this. It's so good you brought it back again, and some of you haven't. It'll only be about 10 minutes, but what we wanted to do, we've talked about this local species plan for decades and decades, of course, and of course we've been in implementation for a few years. We wanted to give you an update on the status of the link, particularly between the transportation program and the multiple species program. And I think it's very timely because a few of you sat in on interviews earlier today where just about every environmental consultant reminded us how much easier it is to get infrastructure approved thanks to our investment in this region of multiple species plan. So with that, Katie, if you could give us an overview.
Great. Thanks, Tom. And I think it's worthy to note, as Tom noted, the multiple species plan was many years in development stages, and I think we did a great job of putting it together. As we're discovering, the implementation phase is going very well. We're going to be celebrating 4 years since October 1st when we received the permits in 2008. So what I'd like to do is just give you a brief overview, talk a little bit about the plan very briefly for those who may not remember all the details. In particular, focus on the I-10 Mitigation Bank, and I think appreciate and honor the support and the role that CBAC has played, and in particular, the transportation funding that has made what we are accomplishing now possible. Infrastructure mitigation, a little bit about how that works. We're moving forward, as Tom has said. I think the process of streamlining development is working well. And then, in particular, Caltrans, we have a new district director who was here for the Transportation Committee meeting last month, and we provided him with an update, and we're looking forward to working with Caltrans to assist them in getting their projects reviewed and approved as well. So just a few reminders for those who are many years in the world of multiple species. This plan took over from the original lizard plan, which started in 1986. We have a long history up here in the Coachella Valley of conservation. After 12 years, on October 1st, we finally got our permits from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Department of Fish and Game. Today, we have, I think, a very strong, positive relationship with both agencies. For some of you know that wasn't always the case, so we're happy that that is the way things are now. 1.1 million acres total area that is covered by the plan, and we have divided it up into conservation areas, which helps us to focus on particular conservation. For example, the Santa Rosa and San Jacinto Mountains is one conservation area. We have a whole range of different species, 27 species, the bighorn sheep, the fringe-tailed lizard, the desert tortoise, and a little plant called the Coachella Valley milk vetch are some of the most notable. And I think the good news about this plan, I was on a call this morning with the California Energy Commission. They are having a hearing for the Desert Renewable Energy Conservation Plan in Sacramento, basically asking for support and advice and input from other plans. And I think one of the things that we can be very proud of is the across-the-board support which we've had from builders and the environmental community in putting our plan together and keeping it moving forward. It is based on a fee, and certainly, as I mentioned, describes a process that started with the lizard reserves that were established back in 1986. CBAG was a leader in that effort back then as well. 27 species, 27 natural communities, birds, critters. We even have a couple of insects on the list, and they are endangered species sometimes as well. And we've made great progress. A good aspect for the plan for the Coachella Valley is we're building on the framework of public lands that already exist. Joshua Tree National Park, the Santa Rosa and San Jacinto Mountains National Monument here on the south side, wilderness areas that are owned by the BLM at east and west ends of the region. So we have about 1.1 million acres. The plan, everything you see in color, is lands that are in the conservation areas and would be targeted for acquisition, and our goal is to acquire about 90% of those lands and certainly allow any property owner the ability to have at least a single-family home or development, some reasonable development. So this shows you the private lands in 1996 and the progress we have made since that time. All the land shown in bright green are lands that have been acquired by the Royal We. That includes the CBCC. CBAG actually has done a great deal of acquisition for the freeway interchanges, and the various state and federal agencies, as well as nonprofit partners such as the Wildlands Conservancy and the Friends of the Desert Mountains. And just briefly to highlight, we're going to take a look in a moment at this area here, the so-called Captain acquisition up in the Sky Valley area. That is a great example of the success of our freeway interchange program. We do have a list of participating agencies, all of the cities, the county, several state agencies, Caltrans, the Mountains Conservancy, and state parks. We just recently, as an example, signed an MOU with state parks and CBCC, whereby state parks is going to help us manage lands that we will acquire, helping to share in the cost burden. In particular, the plan provides across the board protection and the ability to move projects forward in our regional road network, the EPS, the CBAG road network projects are all covered. And one example of really how the plan works well was what we started before the plan was approved. With the effort to get the freeway interchanges, which are now a complete success story moving forward, and at a point when the plan was somewhat mired in various challenges, The decision was made by ZBAG to move forward with an interchange mitigation bank. We identified the specific requirements for the five interchange projects, and that was developed independently but parallel with the plan as a complement. And again, ZBAG stepped up to the plate and provided an additional $8 million in funding. Just briefly, that interchange for the five interchange mitigation was identified for each of those five interchange projects. And just to show you a little bit about how that works more specifically, this shows you the lands in pink that have been acquired as a result of the interchanges in order to provide the approval necessary on the environmental side to move those interchange projects forward. For an example of Indian Avenue, we are looking at not just the interchange project itself, but also the road widening and bridges and related activities that are also covered under the plan. In this case, it was necessary to mitigate not just the freeway itself or the interchanges, but the associated what are called indirect effects. We did that, put together an acreage estimate, and identified lands that needed to be acquired to protect habitat for various species. And again, just showing you, if you can see it over on the left side, here's Indian Avenue and the area that was required for mitigation. And lands that were specifically acquired in yellow to mitigate for Indian Avenue. If you took a patchwork and added the lands that were required for APOM and Gene Autry, as well as Jefferson, you fill in all of those pink lands that were acquired, over 1,700 acres total. Now, all of the permittees from the individual jurisdictions to the large infrastructure agencies all have obligations. And the good news is things are moving well there as well. Each of you as cities and counties made a commitment to collect mitigation fees. We're not collecting, of course, with the slowdown in development, a great deal of the mitigation dollars. We collected about $2 million. Last year in 2011, CBCC went through a process of updating the mitigation fee. We were able to actually reduce the fee slightly and also assure long-term funding for the plan by making some adjustments in our acquisition framework. That, we think, was a successful effort, and we'll look forward to, at least for the near term, keeping that fee at a slightly lower level. CBAG has contributed $3 million, as well as about $8 million for the I-10 Innovation Bank, and I would say we would not be acquiring land now if it were not for those CBAG dollars. It's really not enough funding being generated by the fees, but the CBAG mitigation has been a significant source. We've already spent about $16 million. And we anticipate slowing down a little bit over the next couple of years. Coachella Valley Water District, as one example, provided mitigation for all of their infrastructure projects, their well sites, and their reservoirs. They committed to $3.5 million to help us manage and monitor lands to go for the towards the endowment. They did that over 5 years, and this year they made their last payment, so they have actually completed that obligation. And likewise, the Imperial Irrigation District, for their transmission lines, also provided funding to our endowment, and on a five-year plan has just made their last payment as well. Caltrans has an obligation over time for the mitigation of their projects, including many freeway widening projects, to acquire about 5,900 acres of land and also contribute $7.5 million to the endowment. And we are working with Caltrans. These are the covered activities, which include many significant widening projects along the I-10 and other freeways. We have really taken a look at trying to use sort of the same model as the I-10 Mitigation Bank. We've worked with Caltrans to identify where and what kinds of habitats would be affected by their projects and put together a matrix so that when they're ready to move forward, that mitigation piece is already figured out. We'll be working with the wildlife agencies to get their okay on that mitigation bank. And then, as I say, once Caltrans is ready to move forward, we would have a mitigation site already figured out, and hopefully that would streamline their process. With that regard, we are talking with Caltrans to, as I mentioned, finalize the mitigation bank and the matrix with the wildlife agencies, get input from them on their project timelines over the next couple of years, maybe the next 5 or 10 years, and then identify potential funding sources. Of course, that's the challenge from the state budget side. We are working with Caltrans that may require at some point support from us to the legislature to take a look at specific funding that would be supportive of additional complex projects. And then just briefly to give you a quick example of how the land acquisition program has worked for CBCC, we've acquired over 6,000 acres and made good progress toward the ultimate mitigation requirements that the permittees as a whole committed to. This shows you the area near Highway 62 and Desert Hot Springs, the Morongo and Mission Creek wash or drainages. All the lands shown in green are lands that we have acquired. This larger parcel here is part of the former Collinwood property. The lands shown in black are lands where we made an offer and that was rejected, but I think you can see we've done a great deal to fill in the reserve area along Morongo Wash. I think incidentally that may also provide an opportunity for the city to use it as a trail location on either side. We're working with the County Flood Control District right now on a master drainage plan, and they have made that work very well with the multiple species plan. So, and just an example. And then just an overview very quickly. As I mentioned earlier, we've acquired about 77,000 acres total. Many of those acres have been acquired by state and federal agencies. We've been very successful in attracting federal endangered species funds. We're currently spending $6 million that was granted last year. And then we get a lot of funding and benefit out of the cooperative efforts of nonprofits, agencies such as the National Park Service, as well as the lands acquired by CBCC. So I think we're pleased with the progress. There's an ongoing monitoring and management meeting made up of all the agencies that continues to track our success, and things are proceeding very well. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Katie? Thank you, Katie. Moving on, does anybody have any announcements they want to announce? Seeing that, I guess our next meeting is December 3rd, 2012, at 4:30 in Blythe, California.